Did you hear Hillary Clinton the other day using the F word to describe Donald John Trump? The left wing of the Democratic Party has been using that F word against every Republican candidate since Goldwater, since I was a little boy, and I'm old. So Goldwater and Nixon was a fascist, and the Bushes were fascists, and Gerald Ford was a fascist, and Mitt Romney was a fascist, they said, and the Bushes were fascists. Everybody's a fascist. You know what they don't realize? They're a walking, talking cliche. All they've got now is slogans. The F word. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are in New York talking to the people of New York, to a packed crowd, I think, an excited crowd. Will they win? Will they defeat the Democratic Party in New York? I don't think so. This is a statement, not only to the Democrats of New York, but to the rest of the country. As Hillary and Kamala bandy the word fascism about, they do not know what it means. They're clowns. There were people who do know what fascism is about. One was my father, and he fought them. He fought Benito Mussolini and Hitler, and they broke his bones, and he still fought them. They tried to kill him, and they still fought. Many years ago, on October 28th in Greece, there was Oichi Day, when the Greeks refused to kiss the hand of the Pasha. Mussolini attacked, and they threw him off. They threw the attack off, and they counterattacked. And you'll read all about it, well, if you want to. I wrote about it on Sunday. Or you can listen to the Policotti Project that Jeff Carlin, the great Jeff Carlin, the producer here, has done of the recordings about my father, telling his story. But the main thing is that the Greeks did not want to kiss Mussolini's hand. And they said no. And Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris and Michelle Obama and the rest of them, Barack and his, what is he on, his fourth regime now, his fourth administration or third, and the puppet front man, Joe Biden, and all of them. All the Democrats don't realize that they're the true fascists. They're the ones who use Facebook and censorship to stop what they call is disinformation. Listen, do they ever listen to themselves? Do they ever hear themselves? They're the ones who go out of their way to stop Americans from speaking their mind. And as it was, October 28th was Oichi Day. But you know what? November, that was Oichi Day for the Greeks. But November 5th will be Oichi Day for the Americans. I hope it is. I mean, you know what my politics are. I'm not trying to convince you otherwise what your views are. You have them. I respect them, even if we disagree. Let's see. Jeff Carlin and I, Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, and me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. And all the people, all you who are listening, understand that November 5th, Election Day, is Oichi Day for the United States. And you're the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Well, elections are important. They always are important. This is perhaps the most important election of my lifetime. So then why was I interested in writing about snacks? Orange Cheetos, Jeff Carlin. It's Jeff Carlin and John Cass here on the Chicago Way podcast. We have no guests because we always have guests. Jeff's a radio guy, dyed in the wool, like news producer. And I thought, let's just sit and talk for a second. Okay? So what's going on, Jeff?
Yeah, well, John, I mean, spicy Cheetos aside, I love that.
There's nothing like it.
I know.
And I know. Sweetened with leftist tears, because I've seen a lot of them now.
Well, it is silly season and crazy season. I mean, things are, as Bill Cameron used to say, silly season is upon us, and it's kind of the time when everyone goes off the rails. We push the envelope a little bit, but yeah, it's spicy, flaming hot Cheetos, John. Jeez, you and the Cheeto. I've loved it that you've always been able to bring it back to the Cheeto. Whether it's we're making prison or that Fritos, we're making prison tacos, right? Right back at WLS. Exactly. I mean, so I like your commitment to the snack food. I just want to put that out there that. Cool. I don't know where we are, really. It's so crazy. Like, I don't know where we are. I feel like, first of all, I feel like the election's been going on forever, which, I mean, how true is that about all elections these days? It's just feel like it. And that's part of the, that's part of the system. But I'm looking forward to hopefully a peaceful resolution and people maybe coming together, which is always the hope after an election. I don't know if that's going to happen this time as people are just ratcheting up the crazy.
Somebody just tweeted at me a tweet from a former editor, okay? My former line editor, who was ranting about how there used to be good people in America, but then they fell prey to the F word, fascism. And I'm thinking, my God, I knew this person once, and I thought he was a rational man, but everybody has lost their freaking minds. The people of this country have lost their minds, and right now they're susceptible. Right now they're susceptible to, like if I were a world international power, this is the time to attack. If I were a terrorist, this is the time to strike. I don't think that's the right thing to do, but we're in that mode now, Jeff.
I think I would push back on that, John. I think it wouldn't be the opportunistic time to do something like that. If they were, you're talking about someone like organizing an attack, somebody organizing an event, organizing a coup, whatever it's going to be. Doing it now would probably get you the vitriol from both sides because it would be like, oh my God, and oh my God, And so I think it wouldn't be an opportune time to do that. So I mean, I don't think that's why I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm glad you pushed back on me because I need pushback all the time. I get it from my wife constantly. But, we voted the other day. All right.
Excellent. Congratulations, citizen. You've done your duty.
Indiana citizen. Yeah. And I voted today and I the other day and I saw all the people from Green Acres like Arnold and the pig came up with Mr. Ziffel.
Excellent.
Hi, Mr. Ziffel. It was great to see everybody. I felt like one of the community.
I love it. I go back to my hometown to vote every time.
You do? And yep. Is the election judge like my age going, "Oh, Jeff, I remember when you were
there is one guy who's a lifelong like independent kind of type. But the beautiful thing is you always see the kids. There's those like high school kids. It's like rotating cast every time. It's, you know, some kid wearing a Letterman's jacket or like a local school shirt or whatever it is.
Right.
And, you know, that makes me always happy. That's the stuff I love, because it's, you know, it's at this church that literally I could throw a baseball halfway to from the back of my parents' property, and I could hit it, which is great. I mean, I love that. That alone. And how more Americana can you get?
Is that when the old grandma in the Norman Rockwell painting that you're painting for us brings forth a tray of what, snacks? Or is it bongs now? Is it bongs?
Yeah, wait, no. It was
still kids.
Right. Yeah, maybe. No, luckily it's just a forest. There's a forested area, and it used to be a farm when I was a kid. So it's, yeah, but it's not like that. It's good though. I mean, that's what I love about the idea of, you know, voting, and then this idea that, you know, it's not perfect, not a perfect system we have. We've talked about, I mean, the idea that our constitutional republic has its issues, its ups and downs, whatever. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of part of the thing. You know, that's this experiment, as we call it.
All right, what do you make of people like me on both sides of the aisle? You're not like this, but
sure.
If I were a Democrat, I'd be saying the end of the world is at hand right now.
Well, they are, yeah, right.
As the
Chicken Little
leaks continue out of the Kamala camp, and they're screaming at each other and blaming her and everything. Or if I were on the other side, which I am, that when Joe Biden won, I thought the world is over, the country is over. What do you say to these people on both sides?
You know, it's funny. I've had dinner over the last month with people in both camps, and it's interesting because I don't know what to say. You know, normally I'm pretty good at talking logic into some people, you know, and being, you know, a middle of the, you know, it's not as crazy as, you know, and it's hard. I mean, it's really hard to cut away at something. Because, I mean, we're 9 years into this now. You know, Trump announcing when he rode down that escalator, that stupid
golden escalator
with the paid actors to cheer him on because nobody knew what it was, and it wasn't
with like the super hot wife,
right? Yeah, and the weird grinning kids behind.
I know
him.
They all hated that.
I know they like half of them didn't want to. Like, it was, you know, it was such.
No, I'm talking about the media hated that.
Oh, that too. Oh, God, yeah, right. No, everybody. I mean, everybody. No, nobody liked it except for Trump and his probably inner circle. I mean, because it's his thing. It was at the time. It was. Yeah, people have talked about this in books, plenty of books, but it's what he did. You know, he put his name out there a couple of times, and it was about this thing. It was his personality to get out there. But yeah, everybody was like, it's been, you know, 10 years. So this is ingrained in people, is my point, is that moment is buried deep in all of us, and it triggers one thing or another, right? It either triggers, God, that was a cool time in history, or, oh my God, what a horrible time in history. And it's hard to bury that out from people because that is so part of who we are now, right? That moment is here, it's living, it's breathing, and it's growing. And
is it going to pop out of my stomach? Like
it really is.
Like alien? Like, is it?
Yeah, November 6th, we all get one color alien coming out of us. It's either red or blue.
I think that, speaking of the man's humanity, because I know people often forget that Trump is a human being.
Sure.
I think that he's been on a journey since that escalator ride. And I don't think I think he realized it in terms of battle, doing battle viscerally. But then it came to him later that what he was going up against was the deep state. And I don't think he really understood it, although I think Schumer understood it. His erstwhile, like, frenemy, I say that because I saw the two of them together at the L. Smith dinner tapes. I wasn't invited to the L. Smith dinner, although I would go ecumenically as an Orthodox. I would go, hello, my Catholic brothers, you know. But there was Trump and Schumer laughing and joking. If he's a dictator, why is Schumer laughing and joking with the guy? If he's like the great threat to humanity, to the Western
right. Tradition.
Why are you laughing with the guy? But they did.
I know. That's the whole New York. Yeah.
Because, well, it's also because it's not real. You know?
Right. Exactly. That's what I mean. It's a show. Like, they're like, up front, we're doing our thing, but behind the scenes, we're all coming for you. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, it's like, yeah, it's like, we'll do our thing and we'll talk and talk, but then in the private moment, I might need some money. So
can you right. Exactly.
Up? But he's been against what he's had to come to grips with is the deep state for quite some time, and they're not going away, and they're not going to go down without a fight. I don't know. I assume that he's going to win, but I don't really know if Trump's going to win. If he does win, there's all this work to do, like cleaning it out. It's like almost it's an impossible task. Like cleaning the Augean stables, right?
Right, yes. It's an insurmountable task. Yeah, there's no doubt. But it's interesting. So I look at this, you know, we've established this. I'm very ecumenical, as you said, about the idea of you know, history and moments like this and the pendulum of both conservative and progressive agendas. And the whole idea, the whole thing, how we just go through these modulations. What will be the trickle out and the ripple out effect from history from the Trump moment? You know, his goal is stated many times is to essentially hack the fat and waste and cut the government down. And that's a lot of the conservative movement right now, right, John? I mean, that's the idea of we want to pull people away from having, you know, so-called experts running policy and setting rules and using law and making law. I mean, that's a big piece of what he's about. Drain the swamp kind of mentality, right? He'll take out this deep state.
That's draining the entire state of Maryland. Because...
well, right, exactly.
You have all these people who are unelected, deputy secretaries of...
Right,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're
undersecretary to the first secretary of...
And they're deciding the law. They're
exactly
the law and enforcing it, and I thought we elected congressmen to do that,
right? And John, that's not to say, like you said, it you drain the whole swamp. That includes, you know, a lot of think tanks that are conservative or liberal groups, but media groups. I mean, there's so much of that where it's people say they dictate to politicians their personal interests. But John, I think, you know, that's my point, is that if he's kind of started on this path, especially with the court stuff, with stuff we've seen, this continues. If he wins 4 years of this, he's set a lot of things in motion. It continues, and we look back 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, whatever's going on, will we feel that, oh, the government is more efficient, the government is slimmer, the government, you know, we're not, people's lives aren't being completely controlled, and, you know, quality of life is still what we want it to be. You know, that's the big telltale, and that's obviously, you know, the easy way out of the assessment. But I think net positive, this moment at the very least, because people are woken up to the idea of, you know, a popular personality can get behind a move, can start a movement, and then, you know, take over government, right? That's what Trump essentially did in a nutshell, you know, very simplistically. That alone is enough for people to take government doing what we're doing seriously. But it also, he showed us all these things that were problems with the government, all these, you know, is the deep state, right? So, you know, we had to take care of that. Will we have a government that we think looks like it is today? And I don't think we're going to recognize our government in 10 years because of what he started.
I don't think you're going to, well, that, but in 10 years, you're going to be in the second term of J.D. Vance, President J.D. Vance.
Wow, maybe.
And then after him, it'll be the first term of Ron DeSantis.
Oh God, no. DeSantis, no, he'll
I'm going to Disneyland.
DeSantis is gonna he'll go into the Pentagon. He'll be part of the big groups. You know, he'll be like a follow the Bush model and wind up running, Raytheon secretly behind the back or something. That's what he's gonna do.
What about the we've had a little where the fun fantasy is, JD, from my side, JD Vance is president, and then Ron DeSantis. And by the way, Nikki Haley has eloped and gone off with Neil Cavuto, so they can have Neil.
They moved to Brussels, and now she's running the UN.
Right. But what about the Democrat? What will the. All right, here's one.
Oh, yeah.
Of the Democrat fantasy, is that what?
I know fantasies.
Is it besides the tears? Okay,
I know, right.
First, deal with the tears and eating the ice cream, and the, sure. It's kind of like a sad. The
Democrats are going to be in mourning, right?
You know, every time they see Veep on TV, they start. It'll give me another pint of John.
John, in your universe. fantasy, whatever you want to call this. They call this KU or the KPU, Cast right. Political Universe. KPU, Clint, I'm writing that down. It's so Kamala loses, or so Trump wins.
Big time.
Right.
The Senate, Trump, House, yeah.
So that means that Michelle Obama had to run against J.D. Vance. To try to
then what you do first of all, what do they do to each other? Because
there's nobody else.
What do they do to each other?
Able to continue to hate him, but I don't think it'll look like such a failure to them. I don't know.
What will happen to the media? Okay, good point. Because what's going to happen? They've look at CBS. There's no CBS now.
Right.
They've done all the editing tricks and all that, and the denials and the lies. That's not the Tiffany, as our friend Charles Lipson said. It's not the Tiffany of networks anymore.
Right.
So what is the fallout? Leland Vittert? Leland Vittert to run his own network and be straight down the Fox with that. I mean, fight the other side too. I mean, he wanted to be. And what about Tom Bevin? People like that who offer a truly ecumenical website.
Among us, among those that know, among those in the media that are intelligent about what we do, respect him so much and respect what they do so much. I think they're going to go more into the video stuff and then the audio stuff. I don't think it's going to go mainstream like we see like a CBS or NBC is now, but I think there's going to be a huge growth market for them in the stuff they're doing with audio and video online.
Clear history, real clear religion, real clear science. I'm really loving all this because they're taking the space of the dying newspapers. That the newspapers are, does anyone really read them? I don't know. I people ask me, did you read this in the Sun-Times or Tribune? And I'm like, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Did you read it every day?
No, I don't go to it specifically. I mean, you have to pay for it more often than not. And then that information's out there in other sources. I mean, I Block Club is pretty good in Chicago. I pay for them, I just donate to them. Because it's a nonprofit, whatever that means. I know some of their journalists, so I feel like they are at the very least know their own bias. They try to account for it as best they can. It is what it is in Chicago, right? I mean, we've talked about this. So it's people don't even know that they've been ingrained in one way of thinking or the other for so long. But yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting. I think it's this whole economy of hating Trump. That's that's where CNN and most
what happens to that?
That's the thing I'm curious because I don't know. I mean,
we hate somebody else, like maybe Greeks? Like, let's hate that Greek from Indiana. What's his name?
Well, right. Yeah. What do they turn out? I mean, they're going to have four years of going after him. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, because if he wins, then you have to pretty much assume that the Democrats lost the Senate too. So,
yes, I hope.
The House will probably. Pretty still be pretty narrow, but you know, workable for Republicans. It'll be a weird time for them to try to cover what they're doing, which is going to be the big thing, the most important thing, versus what he's saying, whatever, what they're focusing on. You know, the hatred.
I anticipate, Jeff, that there will be a series of confessionals. It depends if Trump wins, and it's not really. Baked in stone.
But no, right. I mean, it's a toss-up right now.
It could happen the other way. She could win, although I hope not. But that's my personal preference.
Right, yeah.
If no matter who wins, the way human beings are and constructed, the other side, the losers will have a series of confessionals from the politicians, the political class, and the journalistic class. I used to care for Trump, but now I'm so mad that I hate all him and all Republicans. That's how I see it. Or the other way around. I would love to teach the world to sing, and now I want them never to drink Cokes anymore on a hill, like the people in the commercial. You know, I mean, whatever they say. Right. They're all gonna have their statements and the big speech. Like, okay, you know, like there was one of those law shows. I don't know what it was. I can't remember the title. LA Law or something.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was one of the others. And the craggy, wrinkly faced guy, old guy in his late 60s, kind of like me, would make the big speech at the end of the show, like. You believe this, you believe that. Well, this, right. You know, whatever the big speech is. And they'll make the big speech, right?
All right.
It's not going to change anything. But
I believe it's called the denouementé, if you will, right? In English. Or
Denouement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to go. I mean, I don't know, John. Maybe people come around to that. It's going to be, obviously, you know, nothing happened. It doesn't just happen instantly, and it's going to, you know, happen over time. And gradually, we won't notice. I mean, think about where we are now versus where we were when, you know, who was it? In like, was that 2004? Where he's, that crazy sound.
Was his name?
Yeah, God, I can't remember his name.
The chairman of the Democratic Party.
I know. But like that's how far we've come, right? Yeah. Right.
Screamer, yeah.
Scream, yeah. That's like the Dean scream. Howard Dean, that's right. Howard Dean, like that's like that is.
Was... Did Christine have to tell you that? Was she sitting?
No. Luckily, I have the internet. It's pretty cool. I think it'll stick around. Oh my god! That was disqualifying, right? Now and we're in, it doesn't really, you know, the world's an entirely different place now, regardless of how you see it. We have to acknowledge it's different. So that's interesting, John. I don't know what the Democrats are going to do. But I want to go back. I want to flesh out the CASC political universe again, though, because
okay.
We have a good thread there, and I want to pull on it a little bit.
Well, do it.
So in my theory, so in your universe, you know, Trump wins. Vance runs. Vance beats. I say it's got to be Michelle Obama. I mean, I don't know who else the Democrats. You know, Shapiro. I don't think. I think is too narrow. I mean, has to be paired with somebody else. I mean, her and Shapiro. That's a pretty good ticket.
She'll run for as the vice presidential candidate or candidate.
No, I think she's at the top of the ticket. She's the rock star. He's the supporting. supporting character. So, I mean, he wouldn't exist without her and Barry.
She has to run by that time. I think they'll try to stall Trump's getting to the bottom of the deep state. And
yeah, but they won't have much to do. I mean, they won't have an ability to really do that because they'll control everything.
Well, they won't. Well, he's smarter this time. You know
what I'm saying is that he's got numbers. He's got lawyers. I mean, not lawyers. He's got judges in place that in places where they know they can get stuff through if they need to, all the way to the Supreme Court in a hurry, as we've seen as of late. He's got he's the stack deck, really. I don't think we're going to see like we did last time, John, when he wins, where it's going to be this cabal of one after another trying to dethrone him or take him down. I mean, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, twice, like I'm the idiot, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just don't know. But given me Michelle Obama as the headliner for the next act doesn't really do much for me because, A, it makes me cringe. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
B, it makes me shrivel up. C, I don't see it. Because they've had their shot. Look, he's out there now trying to race shame the brothers, right? He's trying to race shame the brothers.
Sure, right.
And they're not having any of it. They're fighting back, and it'll continue. I mean, it's really not a good thing. It's almost like he needs David Axelrod to hold him by the hand to say, oh, no, Barack, I don't think this is a good idea.
Well, yeah, maybe. But I think it's more about the flawed position they were in. I mean, they're not going to lose to Trump here. They, the Obama's, the Democrats in general, because anything Obama has done, aside from giving us Kamala or helping, being part of the same culture that brought her out, she was flawed. Biden was flawed. And there was no way around. There's no way around it. I think it just shows that to the Obamas and then everybody else, because look, when they've come out, Michelle and Barack, it's been very good for them in fundraising, in signups, getting people to vote, to register to vote. We've seen the upticks in that data. So there's no doubt that they're important to the left. I don't think it goes away. I don't think this is going to be a loss on them. It's going to be easy to hang the albatross around Kamala. Kamala goes away, writes a book, goes on TV, joins The View, whatever she does.
What would she do, Kamala? Would she join The View?
I mean, maybe, maybe she winds up at CNN. Maybe she winds up at
MSNBC.
Right. I mean,
she could sit in Joy Reid's lap and laugh at her jokes. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I mean, so she could go back into law. She could do other. There'll be no end of things for her to do.
Can I hire you to be? I've been charged with murder. Can you save me, Kamala?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that would be something, right? Seeing her doing something like that.
Harris, attorney at law.
My point about the Michelle Shapiro ticket is that, look at the Democrats' turn to figure out who was going to be the number two, who was going to be bright and shiny enough and palatable enough to make her look really good and bring that ticket together and beat Trump. And it came down to Greg Walls and Shapiro, and that was it, right? I mean, there's no real other waiting in the wings rock stars or codifiers that are out there. So I think my point is that Michelle's the only thing they got.
Hey, before we wrap up, I have to ask you something, and that is, I've been getting calls lately from listeners who wants to talk about what mics to use and how to properly interview their parents. If, I guess the Policotti project that you produced that I recorded with my father. And there is inspired by that. And just an aside, October 28th is Oichi Day.
Yes.
And I've written a column about it.
Oh, excellent.
But what do they use to record it? What do you suggest?
Yeah, there's no this simple is best, right? The way I would do it is a couple. There are a couple of different ways. Well, first way I would say is the easiest way, especially if you're not in the same place, is to use like Zoom. Zoom is a great recording ability. You do have to pay for it, I believe, or you only get like 30 minutes. If you need, but you're gonna need time, so I would recommend buying a license. It's not crazy expensive. I think you can buy it month to month. But if you do this project, I mean, that's the way you make it as easy as with you, and if, especially if your parent or someone's in another space, and they're kind of technically savvy, you can capture stuff. It's pretty good, and you can get exorbitant as you want. You could buy simple Rode. RODE is a company that makes really good mic quality stuff that just kind of plugs into your computer, usually has a headphone jack, or if you've got earbuds. But that's the thing I would say, if you really want to make the most quality sound, it comes down to being able to isolate your audio. So that's why Zoom's great, because it gives you like my audio and your audio, John, here, and I can clean them both up independently and then snap them back together and then make it
Are you
sound.
telling me that you're cleaning up the squeaky chair?
I try. But simple, I mean, the simplest way is to just do a kind of like what you guys did, is you have, an old cassette recorder or whatever, but our phones will do that mostly. Laptops will do that. Get a laptop. You want to go and get a microphone and a laptop, and then just have that between you and talk. But you got to think about the sound you're putting out and be careful of tables that are, movable, or have a big long surface with no supports, because they kind of echo a little bit more. You really want to do a little trial run and listen to what your tape is, and listen real, just not from what people are saying as much as how they're saying, what the room sounds like. Then do a test, sit in this room, test, talk with somebody else, test how it sounds, test, move, listen for movements that you might be able to avoid, like touching a table, talking over each other. It's a good idea to set some ground rules so you can, make it edits later if you need to clean stuff up, or for you guys to pause or whatever. Especially if you're trying to put it out there for something like what we did. We really just want to have it and share with, future generations.
Right.
Do it on your phone. And in a room, but be cognizant of, where the microphone is and not touching the table the surface it's on, what's going on in the room around you. You obviously don't want a fan going, because that can create some noise, but it's okay to have like a small fan. In the room I record in, I have an air purifier running on real low and quiet, and I can hear it just barely when I'm editing. But what that does is it kind of creates a soft, cushiony white background noise to cover some stuff that might be happening outside the room I'm in. So if you do have something like that, some like a small fan, I mean, not an overhead fan, kind of works as long as it doesn't knock. It rocks back and forth if it's
Right,
unbalanced.
right.
Those
But
are just things that.
interesting, you said not to put it on the table.
Yeah.
Explain, I mean, simple things like that. You're so
Yeah.
advanced in the ways of science, but
Right. That's, even if you need to put it on a table or something, or if that's the only thing space you have, put it on something soft, put it on a book, and then put a book on something soft. You want a firm surface underneath it so it can catch, it'll catch more sound a little bit better that way. If it's on like a, put on a sweatshirt, the sweatshirt's gonna muddle up and catch some of the sound around it, so it won't get as clean a sound. So you want to put, like, I would recommend putting it on a book or like a magazine, and then put that on something soft, like a something so there's a space between, like a friction gap of sorts.
What kind of mics
Well,
are
if it depends on what you're doing. If someone just is doing this for posterity so they can have their grandkids and the kids listen to it,
right?
just don't even worry about that. I mean, one, future technology will have a ability to clean up what you're doing now better than, the current technology. So if you do need that done in the future, someone else can do it and probably do it easier. Just make sure you have a good quality you're putting on there, and most microphones on like phone or cell phones these days are better the quality than any microphone that existed when you were recording with your dad. I mean, if you, it, that
Right.
just it just is the phones. It's well done. Do that. Just record it on your phone. But the most important thing is, don't talk over each other so you're not losing audio. I mean, make it conversational, but be cognizant of that. Two, don't be touching the surface where the microphone is if you can avoid it. You know, make sure it's kind of create, it's somehow protected. So it's on a soft surface, on a hard surface, on a hard, you know, that idea that keeps it from moving. And three would be the room around you, the noise that's happening in the room, either outside the room or inside the room with fans, computers, clocks ticking, things that might, if you ever edit it or if you wind up having to clean it up later, can make it harder to do. And then finally save it somewhere and make sure you remember where you save it.
And make sure that you don't lose it. And then
right.
20 years later, Jeff Carlin comes and saves it for you, right?
Right. Put it in your file, put it on a thumb drive, save it to your email, save it to your cloud thing, have it in a couple of different places, but label it so it makes sense too, because people will title files things and they won't make any sense later in life.
So put it on the cloud, it on a thumb drive in your drawer,
right,
and put it on, write it down on paper. Wrap it up so you know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the cloud thing, you know, the only thing I would say is maybe if there's sensitive information in there, you know, information someone's telling, health stuff or whatever, or information that could be used, it does, you know, maybe not put it on the cloud because sometimes that stuff gets skimmed and becomes part of the AI, you know, super world, super thought. Right. And so,
like if you're talking with your dad and he said, how proud he was of his family for voting for Trump, but then then Trump loses, you better delete all that so that you don't go to jail.
I'm thinking more like mother's maiden names and hat sizes for security purposes. But honestly, though, one of the things you do need to do, if you do put this out somewhere, let's say you save it up to YouTube or you to share with family, or you put it on the cloud, some cloud somewhere, and you share with family, make sure everyone in your family is aware then that your voice is now out there and whoever you're talking to, their voice is out there in bulk on the internet, which means you're susceptible to AI scams and AI use, which people I know get all freaked out about AI, and it's okay. AI has been around for a very long time. We just haven't called it AI. But the concern is that if like you and I do this podcast, have done almost 500 episodes, 600 episodes, right, whatever we've done. Our voice is out there. So someone could spoof either one of us and make a very convincing fake and then use that fake to call, say, one of your children, one of your grandparents, my father, and with a script, convince that person to send them money, give them important information, whatever it is. So be aware of that. I always say, you know, if you're doing stuff like this, if you're starting your own podcast, if you're recording stuff, putting it out there, you're at risk. There's an heightened risk that somewhere, because that's what they look for. They go look for, you know, big samples of audio, and then they can spoof it and then steal $10,000 from, you know, Joe Schmo in the middle of nowhere.
Who's responsible?
Well, okay. Right.
If you get a call from me and say, Jeff, I need $10,000.
Right.
And you have it. That'd be odd, but say,
well, it's always convincing because the scam most often is someone would like target, like say my father, for example, and they would use my voice and they would spoof it to say, oh, you know, I'm in an accident, or I need you to go and do this, or I need a credit card number so I can, whatever it is, they'll make it convincing, but it's the passion and concern that'll overtake the logic. And so it's a real powerful scam, and I've seen it in practice, not, you know, working with anybody nefariously, but people showing us and demonstrating what it is. It's scary. I mean, it's really well done. So my way around that is to have a password, have a family password that everybody knows, that is you don't talk about, you don't say it on air, nobody knows, it's just everybody knows what it is. So if there is an emergency, I can say, oh, really? What's the password? You give me the password, then I know it's really you, and then I know I'm okay to help you. But
even if you don't have a password, if they answer it, then you know they're lying.
Oh, right. Yep, that too.
Like AI?
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if your family doesn't have a password, same thing, right. It works both ways. So, yeah, good point, John. Really good point.
For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my friend and co-host here at the Chicago Way. And for me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News, where you always get a good cup of common sense. Join us next time for our pre-election panic edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.